And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Aw, yeah! Stepping on the beach, the only place to read your emails and tweets. It's Wednesday, January 13th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hey, guys. Great to be on the big show again.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Bassmaster ripping them lips. Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. We got the International Man of Mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Keep doing your thing. We're less than 100 subs away from 25,000K. 25,000K. 25,000 on YouTube. So let's just strike that from the checklist today. If you haven't subscribed, please do. Share it with a friend. Let's get there.
What's going to happen first? We're sub 100 subs. 25K or James Harden traded first?
Ooh.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close. Yeah, before we get to the questions here, an exciting afternoon on NBA Twitter. It feels like we're mere hours, maybe minutes away from James Harden actually being traded. Murphy's/No Dunks Law says he'll be traded as soon as we stop recording this Beach Steppin' podcast. I mean, you could almost take that to the bank. We got Shams. We got Woj. We got Mark Stein. Saying this is basically going down. When you know you got all three of those guys tweeting about it, you know something is happening. Harden's been held out of practice. The Rockets are planning to keep him away from the team until a trade is done. That's something we talked about on today's No Dunks Daily podcast. And it just sounds, Tass, like we're waiting on the Rockets front office to weigh the best final offers from what we think is the Brooklyn Nets or the Philadelphia 76ers. Who can sweeten that pot just a little bit more for the Rockets to finally trade James Harden? You think this happens here during this show?
Sure. It's got to happen soon. It's like a movie, right? The way he was at that press conference yesterday, cut it short, walked off, and never to be seen again in a Houston Rockets arena, atmosphere, anywhere. This is it. It's done. He's never going to be a Houston Rocket again. It's got to happen right now. It has to. It feels a little too dirty. And with what Anthony Davis put the Pelicans franchise and fans through 2 years ago, to me, it's very, very similar in the way that Anthony Davis kind of stopped playing. And the last five games, James Harden hasn't been anything like himself out there. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Trey? Is this happening before we're done beach stepping here?
Oh, yeah, I'm confident. I think we're going to stretch this nice and long on the beach so we actually get to react live to a trade. I think Serge Ibaka was the last time, right? An Ibaka trade from the Magic to the Raptors that we got to react to. That was a while ago. But it definitely feels like the last time we're going to see James Harden in a Rockets uniform was wearing the baby blues. Oh, classic Rockets uniforms. But it feels like it's just a matter of time now. Kind of seems like they're haggling over which support players, which role players to throw into this trade, perhaps with the Sixers. I don't know. All of the Rockets who are going to continue to be Houston Rockets after the next couple of days are basically just trashing James Harden in their press conferences right now. So they're ready for him to be gone. Clearly, the Rockets are ready for him to be gone. It's just a matter of, can they do it in the next hour and a half? Let's see.
Yeah, Lee, I asked you this morning, you think Harden will be traded by the weekend? I'll just change that now. Do you think Harden will be traded by the end of the day?
Yes, I do now. Yeah. Definitely, things have moved in that direction pretty strongly. The biggest domino appears to have fallen in the fact that the Sixers are going to move Ben Simmons in return. So now, as Trey's saying there, it's more those periphery pieces which can maybe get the contracts to line up, and then a few little pieces here and there just to sweeten the deal. But I wonder if it will be a three-team deal, because Mark Stein appears to be alluding to the fact that there could be some other ones involved. Now, I will say, I just wonder, though, if this whole, you know, Kyrie Irving situation in Brooklyn has any impact as well, because the Nets apparently were prepared to go pretty heavy to Houston to get something as well, according to, I think it was Shams who was saying that out there. So, yeah, it's definitely happening. It's definitely going down. And, you know, if Daryl Morey is reunited there with James Harden in Philadelphia, that's just going to be a hilarious sort of storyline, to really, because we, you know, we sort of thought it was possible. Then it seemed like it was unlikely because the Sixers got off to a good start. And now we've sort of seen the Sixers, you know, slow down a little bit. And Ben Simmons, clearly, his mind was elsewhere last night. So this appears to have been in the works for the last couple of days or so. And with James Harden's performance last night, I guess the Rockets have decided no point now in trying to repair that relationship. That's done. So get move on from him and see what you can get in return.
Yeah, we'll obviously keep our eye on the Twitter machines here on the heavy hitters. We got notifications on and all that. So yeah, maybe we'll be reacting to a trade right now when we know it is official. I guess if I'm a betting man, I'll go with the Sixers. I'll go with, it sounds like Tucker's a part of this, like he's going to be packaged there with Harden. So if those two guys were going to Philly, well, it's Ben Simmons, maybe Mike Scott, make the dollars work. And then it could be Matisse Thybulle and a Tyrese Maxey. Maybe it's just one of those two guys. And then it comes down to how many picks or any picks, what's in there? And do they have to trade to get more picks to make this happen? That's my guess right now.
The interesting part is from that Sixers side, if he goes to Philly, that they start 7-1. Everything looks perfect in Philadelphia. You'd figure that they'd try a couple months with these two young stars, half star, half superstar in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, but they just pull the plug on it now. I'd assume that Ben Simmons isn't extremely happy with his role of being off the ball more and not handling it and being a point guard his whole life, touching that thing, and now, you know, not doing as much with it. I'd assume that's a part of it, but that really hasn't come out. I think Ben Simmons has played the good man there. He's done his job. So that's, to me, that's the real interesting side. We knew before the season, no matter if Harden's not playing or whatever, he was done in Houston. It's that Philly side that's very intriguing to me.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think that if this does happen between the Sixers and Rockets, that it's a smart trade for Philly. I saw Mike Prada saying, no, don't do Harden. If you can do Beal, do Beal. And he made an interesting point. I'm not sure I agree with it, but Trey, let's get your take. Mike Prada said that this is a bad year for a team like the Sixers to take an extreme, like, win-now posture. Because, again, this is Mike Prada, who knows if, first off, we even finished the season, given COVID uncertainty? Okay. Who really knows how COVID will affect the usual rhythm of the playoffs? Fair. And how many of the usual norms of a title contender or title contention will even apply in this year? What, I mean, I think it's a fascinating look at it. I hadn't really thought about that. What's your reaction?
Depth is definitely going to be important this season, as we're seeing with teams that are having to run eight players out from the end of their bench and put on a show, which is exactly what the Sixers did last night, right? So, yeah, I can see that argument, but there's another depth argument to be made as well. You have more depth if you have Joel Embiid and James Harden. If Joel Embiid goes out for the playoffs, you still have James Harden. I don't necessarily know if Ben Simmons keeps you as a title contender if he's playing by his lonesome. On the flip side, if James Harden somehow is out for the playoffs, you still have Joel Embiid. You can ride him as an MVP candidate. So there's depth there, and then there is a superstar depth. You know I'm always going for the superstar depth, but man, if Harden and Embiid end up on the same team, you thought you hated the Rockets shooting free throws? Wait until you see these guys shooting free throws. They go to the line all the time. This is going to be, I mean, if Harden's on the Sixers, they could easily be the most hated team in the league, taking the mantle from, I suppose, the Rockets and James Harden previously. I don't know. It could be a team that people really, really like to root against.
Okay. Well, we'll wait. Let's just wait, and we'll see what happens. Is Harden going to Philly? Is he going to Brooklyn? Is there a third team involved, like you said, Lili? Is he just going from somewhere else completely out of left field? We'll just find out, hopefully, in the next hour or so. But let's get to the questions, Tess.
Yeah, you guys have sent in some great ones here. And we start with a banger. Hey, no dinky dinks. Is Trae Young the new Kevin Love?
Woohoo!
What?
Starting last season, I feel like the way we've been talking about Trae Young is reminiscent of Kevin Love's last 2 to 3 seasons in Minnesota, where he was putting up huge numbers, but for a variety of reasons, they didn't exactly lead to team success. At the time, it led me to believe that he could never be the number one option on a championship-level team. He never struck me as a leader, but more as an all-star slash fringe all-star that any championship team would love to have as a second or third option, which he ultimately was with the Cavs. Now, don't get me wrong, Trae Young is still, no pun intended, very young. He might prove me wrong in the end, and I hope he does for Hawks fans. Thank you for your thoughts on the matter. Have a great day. Stay safe. Keep up the great work. That's from Nicholas B. in Quebec City, Canada. Skeets, what do you think? Is Trey Young the new Kevin Love?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually compared Kevin Love's first six seasons in Minnesota with Trey Young's first two and change here, obviously, into his third year. The numbers are sort of, you know, for guys that play different positions and obviously, you know, fill up the box score in different ways, there's some comparisons in terms of scoring the ball, one being obviously an elite rebounder, the other being pretty elite playmaker for being a young point guard. And they just didn't win a lot of games, so I guess that checks out, right? And that's what Nicholas here is saying. The Wolves won with Kevin Love in the mix 24, 15, 17, 26, 31, and then 40 in his final year in Minnesota. That's 25 and a half wins per season. He was an all-star. He made All-NBA actually twice. The Hawks, well, they've won 29 and 20. So 24 and a half wins per season. And again, Trae Young in his third year. But I think the more apt comparison is either to Chris Bosh and his first seven seasons in Toronto. I'm talking about Kevin Love here. Or this one will probably hurt the most for Wolves fans. What about Karl-Anthony Towns? What about his 6 years to Kevin Love's first 6 years in Minnesota there with not a lot of team success? You know, individual accolades. Cat had a two-time All-Star, one All-NBA selection, but not winning a ton of games. Incredibly winning more games than Kevin Love even did, but I think it's that. So I hear where Nicholas is going with this. Big numbers on a crappy team. Can he ever be the lead guy? I guess I still have a little more faith in Trae Young to be a Steph Curry light type player moving forward in this league, but I hear you with those huge numbers on a team that can barely win 30 games. So what do you think, Lely?
Yeah, I think it's just a little early for the Trae Young comparison there to Kevin Love. He plays a different game as well. You know, like Kevin Love obviously shot threes for a big guy, but Trae Young just plays in a different way. So I think this season was going to be a key season, and it started off well here for the Hawks, but it has sort of hit a bit of a road bump along the way. And it's going to be interesting to see how Trae Young responds to this, because I think the Atlanta Hawks backed up their words in the last season and into the offseason by getting some good supporting players around him. I think there is some talent and some depth there. They're still, you know, it's still trying to figure it all out. But now I want to see Trae Young become better than he has been in these last couple of seasons. And again, he started off the season well, but he seems to have been pouting a little bit in these last few games here since the report that John Collins basically called him out during a team meeting. So we'll see how it plays out there. But Kevin Love, yeah, I mean, those seasons in Minnesota, he seemed to be a dominant player, putting up 20s and 10s in his sleep, but we really didn't know if they were empty stats or if he was going to be a star player. It wasn't until he got to Cleveland where, you know, his numbers were similar, but he was just surrounded by better talent and he became a better player. And that's no surprise there. Anytime, it's like Kemba Walker going to Boston, I think. You know, Kemba Walker, we saw him in Charlotte for all those years putting up decent numbers, but it was like, is he good or is he just like the best player on a bad team? When you see him in Boston, certainly in last season, I thought he was that was the best season of his career because he was playing with some talent and it showcased his talents a little bit more. So I think that's where Trae Young is right now. Again, he's only in his third season. He's shown some talent, but like all players, he has to now take that step up to become a leader. And he's struggling a little bit with it right now. You know, he's struggling with it because there's a bit more expectations and some people, you know, his own teammates kind of called him out. And he has to respond. And if he is truly going to be a franchise-altering star, then he has to respond better than he has so far to the criticism.
Hawks are 5-5. I mean, that's good but for the Hawks. No, that's fine. I know we have high expectations, but that's great for them.
Yeah, but you know, when you break it down a little bit more, you know, they were 5-1, and they've lost four in a row. And those four losses have been bad losses, like not competitive, you know.
They were 4-1, weren't they? Once upon a time,
were they 4-1? Okay, yeah, well, everyone's 5-4 or 4-5 or something like that. But that's what I mean. Like it when things were going great, it was like, wow, he is this guy, Trae Young. He's, you know, throwing his name in the MVP conversation. But then he kind of like sulked a little bit. I think anyway, from what I've seen their last few games, he's kind of like, oh well, if it's not my team, then I'm not playing at all. You know, and that in your third season, the James Harden situation is a little bit different. But in your third season, you've got to be a little bit more resilient than that, I think.
I think Nicholas just isn't a Trae Young fan, or he doesn't really believe in Trae Young. And that's what it comes down to here. This is Trae Young's chance to lead a team into the playoffs because he's got a bunch of vets around him. But those vets haven't been able to play a role because they're all injured. They've been injured basically the entire season, from Danilo Gallinari to Bogdan Bogdanovic to Rajon Rondo, who's supposed to be his little mentor, just to be around at the very least. So I bought into the, you know, maybe it's because they were 4-1, but seeing that start, Trey Young getting guys involved, not taking every single shot. And John Collins, you know, voiced his displeasure, and that hurt Trey Young's game. Trey Young was not himself. He was not right on the court, and he didn't react well. But, you know, they bounced back for one game anyway. They're 5-5, and that's a learning. It's just a learning lesson for him, and that's it. I think it's a – obviously, it's too early to judge, but he is a different player than Kevin Love in that he can score from anywhere. He doesn't need anyone to set him up. And, you know, Nicholas just doesn't believe in his potential as a leader, what it comes down to. But I'm buying it. It's early in season three. He finally has a decent player or two or three or four around him. You know, I guess you can compare it to Kevin Love, them trying to put, you know, Pekovic around him and a bunch of guys that didn't work out. So maybe these teams are comparable. But I'm buying Trae Young as a leader. That's what it comes down to for me. I think this is finally his time, and he's going to show that he's good enough.
Just do what Kevin Love and Chris Bosh did. Just team up with LeBron James, and then you'll be the second best player on the team, and you'll win a championship. Right, Trey?
Yeah, it totally works. Maybe we'll see him out as a Laker someday, but I'm with y'all. Pump the brakes. It's season three for Trae Young. We're talking six seasons with Kevin Love. If it gets to the point where Trae Young's going for 30-15 every night and the Hawks are still winning 25 games, then it will be a problem. The basketball has come easy. Leadership is a little bit tougher. There's some great tidbits from Chris Kirshner at The Athletic. You can subscribe at theathletic.com/nodunks about the way the pressure is kind of building on the Hawks. Lloyd Pierce came out and said, we're a playoff team, despite not consulting with management about that. That puts a bigger spotlight on your team right there. John Collins calls out Trae Young in a film session, and rather than hashing it out there, Trae Young goes and talks to Lloyd Pierce in a sidebar. That's not necessarily the greatest leadership. You can see why people are going to be poking holes at a team that is expecting to be good, but this is the first time Trae Young has really had a squad around him. Let's give him more than half of a month to actually figure out how to get some wins here in the NBA. And speaking about Kevin Love, when you go back and look at those teams, terrible teams.
Oh, yeah.
Like, are we supposed to expect Corey Brewer and Kevin Martin and Nikola Pekovic to be leading these teams into the playoffs? There's a reason that Kevin Love was having to score a whole bunch of points and not having a lot of team success there. You got to have a team around you. Trae Young has it. We were all very excited about the things the Hawks did. Like Tass mentioned, almost every acquisition the Hawks have made in the summer is not playing right now. Solomon Hill's about the only guy. Even their draft picks, even their reserves, and Chris Dunn are out. We're rolling with the same team we saw with the Hawks last year with the heightened expectations. So just chill a little bit.
One of the guys they signed, Bogdan Bogdanovic, for all our YouTube stream teamers, kind of looks like that big head behind you, Trey. In your younger days, you kind of look like Bogdan Bogdanovic, that big face there. But I think, oh, it's a pillow.
Yeah, it's this is called the freaky daddy head around here.
Wow, yeah, that, yeah, I can see why.
Yeah. That's weird.
It's, very creepy. Very creepy.
All right. We'll put that on social media to freak you out.
Next question here. Hey, No Dunks crew, I was listening to y'all talk about Kawhi holding two water bottles in one hand, and it got me thinking about how back when he was with the Raptors, Roots, a Canadian company, made him custom-sized gloves after he said there were no cold-weather gloves which fit him because of his freaky long digits there. So this leads me to my question. What custom piece of clothing do you think needs to be designed for a specific NBA player? Thanks for the great podcasts. That's from Carter over in England. What do you got, Trey?
This is a general suggestion. I think that they should make long sleeve t-shirt jerseys, or at least allow players to wear long sleeve t-shirts under their jerseys. You see it all the time in practice. And personally, I think a long sleeves with shorts is just a choice look. But for a specific article of clothing, I would like to see a Lakers uniform that's a full LeBron James uniform, but it's also like tearaway pants and a shirt. So LeBron can just wear this during the game. It looks like he's still in uniform, but we all know he's chilling right now. He's not giving it the full effort. So through the first three quarters of the game, he's wearing his warm-up Lakers uniform. It still looks the same. 23 on the front, 23 on the back, Lakers, James, all that kind of stuff. But come the fourth quarter, he tears off the pants, he rips off the jacket, and now it's time to actually play basketball. You had a chance to win the first three quarters, but now LeBron is here.
It's like Brent Barry in a dunk contest.
Exactly right.
You got an answer, Lee?
Well, I would like to see the Australian players in the NBA wearing a uniform that's a little bit more like an Australian rules football jersey and shorts. You know the one, Skeetsy, when we go and watch the grand final there usually. They're sort of similar to the basketball uniform, so it wouldn't be a huge change. But I would just like to see them out there in their Aussie rules gear. I think it'd be a way of symbolizing, yep, That guy's from Australia. We know that. And he's paying respect to where he grew up. Because all these guys would have played Australian rules football when they were kids. I mean, Ben Simmons, talk about him a lot. He was a great Australian rules football player. So it'd be great to see him out there on the court in his Australian football uniform. Without the boots, of course. He wouldn't be able to wear those ones out there. But
you're basically saying make the basketball uniforms tighter, are you not? Because those guys wear some tight, tight uniforms or jerseys or kits or whatever you want to call them.
Exactly. And it shows off their you know, their definition and their biceps a little bit more. Sure. So I think they'd love it. I think the players would love it. But also, those uniforms, they're very... Like you're not going to get stuck onto each other or anything like that. They're very svelte and well designed, so you know you can slip around picks quite easily. I think it'd be a good improvement to the game as well.
Is there like a reason why they are so tight?
Well, they used
outside
to.
Of showing off those quads, you know, like what's the reason?
The shorts used to be even tighter. Like you go back and look at the sort of late 80s, Stockton early 90s. It wasn't until sort of, I guess, towards the sort of mid to late 90s where they started making the shorts a little bit looser. But we used to play basketball, too, in footy shorts. And, you know, yeah. Like, I mean, when you're a kid, you don't really care. But, yeah, when you look at some of the players, look up Warwick Kappa. He used to wear the tightest, shortest shorts that his buttock, his lower buttock, was often hanging out of. But Warwick was quite an entertainer, so he did that on purpose. But, yeah, they've moved on. They have... modernize their uniform somewhat nowadays, so they're not quite as slinky as they used to be.
Wasn't there a UFC fighter that wore like a G-string to his octagon fight and his nut fell out and Dana White got all upset? Is that a thing that happened? I'm pretty sure. Taz, you're shaking your head, but I think that's a real thing. Yeah, he like wore like the smallest like clothing you could imagine for a fight, and I think his nut popped out on live TV, and Dana White was not happy. Anyway, that was a little tidbit. Somebody fact check me on that. I don't know. Maybe I dreamt that. That'd be a weird dream, wouldn't it? Do you have a piece of custom clothing you want to see there NBA, in the NBA test?
Well, I mean, this is more of a product, I guess. But LaMelo Ball loves pointing at his head, as we've seen. It's kind of a three in the head. It's kind of like what Carmelo Anthony does. My product is, it's kind of been done, but I want it to be called the Mellow Heads. It's a hat with a foam hand attached to it, but it's a fingers just pointing at his head. And I could see entire arenas. You know, when we get fans back in the arenas wearing them, it can be attached to a hat. It can be attached to a headband. So you have 18,000 mellow heads in the arena. Oh, man, that's a product.
That's actually a good product. Because, like, you could see it, like, if you shook your head a little bit, like, the fingers would, like, sort of bop into your head.
That's a good design.
Yeah.
Going to need some good designers on that. And yeah, we talked about last week whether mellow can steal the name of Carmelo Anthony, whether we can start just referring to him as Melo, whether he's going to take that name. So as a business, you're going to get some nice SEO traction off of Carmelo Anthony there. So, hey, there's lots of good angles here. Yeah, the Melo heads, they're out there. They're out there somewhere. And it's different, though. You know, he points to his head like with a full hand. It's not a three to the head.
Right.
It's just like, hey, my head's in the game or something, or my head's good. I'm not sure what he's saying exactly, but... It's addicting. Once you start pointing your head, you just can't stop.
Oh, yeah. I find the Carmelo, so, like, three to the dome. Like, I've done that in pickup basketball. I don't even think I took the shot. Now I think I'm doing it because it's so fun to do. Once you start doing it, you can't stop. All right, that's a great question. What's our next
Before one? We move on, a couple of...
Harden traded?
Fact checkers. A couple of fact checkers on the stream team. Michael Walsh says, I just checked Google and I must say... Warwick Kappa's thang was indeed thanging back in the day.
Okay.
And Runaway Universe says, that fighter was Dennis Hallman, by the way, and his nuts did pop out.
Thank you. There you go.
So. You were right. You were right about his nuts.
Nuts. Multiple.
Not a dream.
Multiple, yeah. Maybe he just, maybe it was complete exposure in that fight. I don't know. How did Ariel Helwani scorecard that one? I'd love to know. All right, what's our next one?
Friends... I'm a Mavs fan, and watching the win against Denver, I just jumped on my seat when Dorian Finney-Smith did a gorgeous putback dunk, which he often does. My question is, who is on your All-NBA putback dunk team? This season, I stopped listening to other NBA podcasts because every day it's only a classic time with my boys. But hey, it's never too much content for me. Thanks. That's from David in Italy. Wants to know... All NBA putback squad. Ooh. Who's on your team, Lee?
Oh, ciao, David. Yeah, so this was a great question. It was allocated to me, and I was like, awesome. I love doing this stuff because you can get right into those rabbit holes on YouTube and go deep into the NBA archives and find the best putback dunkers. But I was somewhat disappointed, to be honest, with the results, because ultimately it's really just guys who are awesome dunkers are actually the best at the putback dunkers as well.
Right.
I didn't really find that one guy that I was like, oh, awesome. Yeah, I forgot about him. Like, so I have compiled a list here of guys, and you guys might remember most of these guys. I'm sure you will, but I've put them together. So I'm going to start with the old school guy, Dominique Wilkins. He had a couple of huge ones, but again, he was a three-time dunk champ or two-time dunk champ. In it a lot. Fantastic dunker, super athletic. Jason Richardson, he also won the slam dunk contest. Fantastic leaper, great athlete. He had some really, really good putbacks in his time. Vince. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, Vince. Awesome dunker. Great dunker.
Yep.
LeBron James now, LeBron is not only a great putback dunker, he's a great putback dunker after the whistle as well, and just a dunker after the whistle. A lot of his dunks, like, it goes up there, he grabs it with his left hand and sort of windmills it after the whistle, so that doesn't
awesome.
Even count. Ultimately, I found the most consistent, best putback dunker of all time is young Blake Griffin. He had some monster ones. Pau Gasol, he got ridden a few times there by Blake. Sometimes not just putbacks, sometimes in just regulation dunks during the game. But Blake, yeah, he just he erupted. And I think now it feels like it's been so long since we've seen that Blake Griffin. You know, like he's playing okay there for the Pistons. But those days are well and truly beyond him, unfortunately. And, you know, but yeah, remember those, you know, two or three seasons there? It was like,
oh yeah,
every night it felt like there was some sort of crazy Blake dunk, whether it was in traffic, whether it was a putback, or when he just exploded over Kendrick. Was it Kendrick Perkins or Serge Ibaka? I can't remember which one it was there, but
Kendrick.
It was Kendrick, yeah. I will say probably Nate Robinson was the best small man putback dunker. He had quite a few, but Allen Iverson also in his sort of first two seasons, he had a couple. That one against the Raptors, I'm sure you guys remember, where he was riding on the back of someone there. So, but yeah, unfortunately, I didn't really. I was hoping to compile.
Unfortunately, this question sucks. It turns out.
It doesn't suck. I mean, putback dunks are awesome, but you know, you sort of like Taj Gibson had one nice one, but I couldn't really make a strong case for him. You know, I was like, God, there's got to be more out there.
What about Kelly Oubre? He's been doing it like a madman this season. But he's not a huge dunker, but
Hold on, I got a question. What's LeBron's biggest putback dunk? What's his biggest putback dunk?
His biggest putback dunk.
Yeah, because I'm drawing a blank. I'll be honest.
That lefty windmill after the whistle. It is after the whistle.
Yeah,
it's a foul on the shot attempt. But oh my goodness, it's maybe the best dunk of his career.
Yeah. That's true, but that one didn't count. So is there another one?
He dunked it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I can't really remember which one sort of stood out because, you know, like you're watching and you're just like, yeah, seen it, okay. But it's like, unfortunately, I haven't really got the juice for this one that I was hoping to. I was hoping to have that juice guy.
Oh,
I know. I was hoping to have two or three guys like, now remember this guy. And you guys were like, oh, yeah. But I was like, not there. J.R. Smith had some good ones as well. But, you know.
You missed Kenyon Martin, mate. That's the big one to me. Kenyon Martin, a dominant putback dunker. He's hanging on the rim, tearing it off, slapping the backboard. Love that. I'd also say a lot of Kevin Garnett's best dunks of his career are off putbacks. He's got one where he catches it. I forget he's playing. He grabs the ball, brings it all the way down to his waist, and then back up with two hands. Incredible stuff. And a special realm of tip dunks does not exist anymore, unfortunately. The Michael Jordan free throw tip dunk where everybody's just standing there and he flies in for the dunk. They've changed the rules on that, so that doesn't happen anymore, which is too bad, because that's just, since that has now been outlawed, that was an awesome kind of dunk.
Oh, yeah, those highlights are cool.
You guys heard of Michael Jordan? Also a pretty good dunker.
He's a pretty good dunker, yeah. Turns out if you're a good dunker, you're pretty good at the putback dunks. That's what we learned in that last 10 minutes there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Next one. Hey, guys. Okay, so we're over people making fun of the Warriors, but how good can this team be? Wiggins actually looks good. Oubre can't be this awful all year long. Are they for real? Can their holes be filled by Steph's greatness? Just curious where people stand on this team. That's from Joshua Kidd. It says, P.S. Thanks for the laughs. You're always keeping me in good spirits. I was literally watching your show Friday morning right as my wife was about to give birth. Wow. Yeah, one sec, honey. Lee's talking about these great dunkers I've never heard of. Hey, hold it. Just hold it for a second. He's forgot about Vince Carter. I think he's going to say him. But congratulations to you, Joshua Kidd, and your beautiful wife on the new baby. I assume. I don't know. Was there an update on this email, Tess? I'm not sure. But I'm going to assume everybody's happy and safe, and he's in good spirits because he listened to the podcast and he just had a kid. So are you high on the Warriors? Like, where do you fall on this team?
Yeah, congrats, Ash. Contender? Well, what are we talking about? Playoffs contender? Yeah. I think that's even a step up after what we saw the first couple games. No one thought they were going to be in the postseason, but they are a huge contender for the playoffs. Championship contender? No. I think it's pretty evident. Watching them, they don't have a second scorer that they can rely on. Those guys that Ash just mentioned in Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre, Draymond Green, Wiseman, you can't rely on them. And I think maybe if you take the sort of the optimistic Warriors point of view, you say, you know what, we got beat in 2019 in the finals by a Raptors team that didn't have necessarily a second score that you could rely on. They got it from everywhere, but they're better. Besides Kawhi Leonard, he had to drag them through two rounds where they weren't producing, and then all of a sudden it was an avalanche of Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam. Pascal helped out in the first couple of rounds, and those guys are just far more reliable. You just see coaches, coach after coach after coach after coach, when they're playing the Warriors, they just take out Steph. That's their job, and that's all they do. They just say, hey, let the other guys beat us, and it's working. Steph has slowed down these last couple of games, and maybe the Warriors will bounce out of it, but I just don't buy them offensively enough to be able to hang. A good addition to their team would be Klay Thompson right now. They need another guy who can score. Like, you can't rely on those guys. Even though I like Wiggins in his overpaid role of being a 3-and-D guy, or he's not a 3-and-D guy, but a 15, 16, 17 guy. He's playing well. Maybe Oubre plays better, but still, not enough.
What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, I'm with Tass. They don't have the reliable depth, which means, I don't know if Kelly Oubre has a whole bunch of trade value. I don't know if there's two, $8 million players you could move him for that could just show up on your team. But you even see it in the game last night when they're playing the Pacers. Kelly Oubre had a great half. People were buying land on Oubre Oasis, 15 points. But then in the second half, he put up two. And that's kind of what it's like. You never know what you're going to get necessarily from Oubre. You don't know what you're going to get from Wiggins, though he's looked all right this year. The prices are going up for flights to Wiggins Island. There's no doubt about that. But even James Wiseman, last night against the Pacers, he was making an impact, but he couldn't stay on the floor with foul trouble. He goes out. Sabonis runs wild inside. They just have to play a perfect game, and Steph has to be incandescent every night. He has the ability to do that. The chemistry with Draymond Green is obviously not taking a step back with them missing a season, playing away from each other. They're back on the court looking like a classic 1-2 punch, but you're not getting the points necessarily from Draymond. He'll make the right decisions. He will set guys up, but you're not getting the scoring. So it's going to be tough for the Warriors. They definitely need another piece. Obviously, they'll get Klay back next year, but even on top of that, they're going to need somebody else who can do something with the ball, because Steph can do a lot, but he can't do everything for 48 minutes.
Yeah, I will say, Damian Lee has
he's having a good season.
Attempted to give you a good impersonation of Klay Thompson out there at times, but yeah, Klay is just, you know, easily a 20-point-per-game scorer. And then, oh yeah, he's taken the best, you know, perimeter player on the other end, because he's a really good defensive player that it gets overshadowed a little bit because of Draymond, you know, directing traffic and being elite on that end of the floor. I'm sort of with what you guys are saying, though. They're a playoff team. I think it's going to be tough to win, you know, three or four series, though, with the makeup of their squad right now. Do you agree with this, Lee?
Yeah, the only team they can't beat, I don't think, in a seven-game series is the Lakers right now. I think the Lakers are too good. But if you look at all those other teams, you know, like the Jazz, even the Clippers in there, they've all got that little bit of a weakness that if things break right, I can see the Warriors upsetting any of those teams in the first round. Throw the Nuggets in there as well, because we've seen that at their best, when you got Steph out there, yeah, he's capable of just running through a team. So it's certainly possible. But I think at their worst as well, they do have a few holes that they can't compensate for right now. So I just think mainly in the Western Conference, there's not a clear number two to me. I think the Clippers should be that, but I don't think they've proven it yet. I think the Nuggets are one of those teams. They've gotten off to a slow start. And the Utah Jazz, we know that they're also a little bit unreliable. So I think the Warriors would not be afraid of any of those teams in the playoffs at any stage. I just think there's only the one team right now that they wouldn't be able to beat under any circumstances, and that's the Lakers, because I just think the Lakers have, you know, they're the clear favorite to win the whole thing right now. So that's the only team that I think is unquestionably better than the Warriors. Otherwise, I think the Warriors, you know, they'd go into a series, especially with Steph and Draymond there, with the way they're built right now, and thinking like, we could take these guys. You know, they haven't proven enough yet that we don't think we could beat them.
Yeah, it is a weird, weird year. You said, you know, it's clear that there's a number one seed in the West, but it's not even clear in the Eastern Conference that there's one good team, one runaway team. That's the start of this season is really, really strange. That's why I don't mind if the Sixers go for it, if they're trading for James Harden. Do we have a James Harden trade or what?
Apparently now the Sixers are trying to get some other assets to throw into the deal so they don't have to part with Maxey. I'm going to keep Maxey in the doodads.
Oh, man, yeah. I suggested Tyrese Maxey being included in a Harden trade last night on Twitter, and Sixers fans went nuts on me. They nearly ran me off Twitter, man. It's like,
they said, this guy's had 139-point game. We can't trade him.
They are in love with Tyrese Maxey. They do not want to part with him. Matisse Thybulle, sure, they're like, fine, go nuts. Now, if you had done this last year, I think exactly it would have been a different tune. But, okay, so they're trying to find some more pieces to make it happen. Oh, baby. JD, what do you got? You got some breaking news?
Well, I just got a tweet of the day here from our friends. I think you should league pass. And this really sums up Twitter right now.
Read it for people that are
Oh, yeah. The historic, and it's the, what sketch is this called? This is the country singers on I Think You Should Leave. Yeah. And the serious guy is the historic and necessary second impeachment of America's 45th president. And then the other guy is the Harden trade.
Yes.
It's perfect. It's exactly what is happening in my Twitter feed right now.
Yeah.
Yep. You're not wrong. There's a lot going on right now. Okay. So no Harden trade as of yet. And I guess Trump is still technically the president. Is that right, JD? That's the last we check?
As the last we check, yes, he is still the president. And no trade.
Hopefully both of those things change by the end of this podcast.
That would be awesome.
That would be wild. All right, next question.
Hi, ND Inc. 5 years viewer since the starters days. Thanks for all the great content. I've got some embarrassing thing to admit here. Probably more embarrassing than erectile dysfunction. For the first three episodes, I heard the Roman ad in your show and I thought, what is a reptile dysfunction? I seriously wondered what that meant. Which reptile suffers from a dysfunction to the extent that there's something called a reptile dysfunction? That's until JD mentioned the short form ED in one of the podcasts, and I realized how wrong I was. My question, which NBA team or player feels like a reptile dysfunction the most? For example, PJ Tucker is a chameleon with the ability to change his sneakers every game, and he plays for a dysfunctional team in the Rockets. Thank you, and keep up the great work, and stay healthy. That's from Justin in Hong Kong.
This is, without a doubt, one of the strangest questions we've ever received. The question is, which NBA team or player feels like a reptile dysfunction?
Yeah, a little lost in translation, I think, maybe. Perhaps. Yeah.
Maybe. And again, this is strange, and we've had some strange questions, but I think this one takes the cake there, Justin. I had no idea to ask how to answer this. I really didn't. So I asked my Twitter followers. I said last night, like, this is the question. This one's weird. What are your answers? Now, I knew when I was asking it, we were basically firing up the pun gun, and that's what happened. They came through in flying colors. Ross B. said Snake Griffin. Jared Dryden said probably the Washington Lizards. Good one. TJ said the Spurs, Jakob Turtle. Mark Weatherup Jr. said Cobra Kawhi Leonard. That's for you, Lili. Valentino said Hassan Whiteside. Good stuff. DT Genty, he said Brian Scalabrine. And then Allie said, and this was a low blow, Allie, the Raptors are definitely not fully functioning yet. Very dysfunctional there. Yes, the Raptors struggling. So there you go. That's, I just decided to fire the pun gun. A reptile dysfunction. I mean, do you have any better answers than any of those dumb ones?
Wow. Well, I mean, it, you know, that last one got to you there because it was a Raptor hitter. Mm. Last year in the playoffs, Brad Iguanamaker, he was really killing the Raptors. Mm-hmm. And by association, Brooklyn's easy money Viper. Well, he's always involved in drama because he's playing with Kyrie Irving. But yeah, that's all I got.
Good. Anything else? You guys want to fire the pun gun real quick?
I've got a bad one.
Nice.
Who was the most dominant dinosaur? Because this guy's the most dominant guy on Twitter.
Tyrannosaurus Rex Chapman.
There you go. Pew, oh, pew. Nice. Oh.
What a setup to that one.
I'm trying to, you know.
I probably wouldn't have got it with the question, but you like to say that the Tyrannosaurus Rex was the most dominant dinosaur. Oh. I think you've said that before.
Oh, he was. Yeah, he was.
He was.
His table manners left a little to be desired, but, you know, I think...
Eating with those short arms.
Yeah, yeah.
Spilling everywhere.
I think not only was he a killer, but he was a scavenger as well. I mean, like, pick your lane. You don't need to be a scavenger if you're a killer, do you? You know, like...
That's why you're not the king of the dinosaurs, Lee. Oh, you can't do one thing only.
That's true.
Next question. Ayo, Dunkle Bucks. Watching the Montrezl Harrell move play out over the offseason, and I started thinking, is Montrezl Harrell just Kenneth Faried 2.0?
Oh!
Wow, holy. Not just the hair. But he's an energy guy who peaked around his fourth year and then started to fade. Not saying Trez is done, but doesn't it feel like he'll just tail off from here and end up with a very similar career? Turd pickup made some fries awful. That's from Intis by way of the Gold Coast, Australia. Beautiful Gold Coast. Shout out to Surfer's Paradise. Shout out to Brisbane. Yeah, okay. He's thinking Montrezl Harrell, Kenneth Faried 2.0. Tess, what's this crazy talk here?
You can tell everybody's just a little aggravated.
I know.
These
what's
days.
Going on?
You know, Trae Young's ceiling is Kevin Love, no more, no less. We've got a Montrezl Harrell, Kenneth Faried comparison. Everyone's got a reptile dysfunction in the league. Come on now. I think Montrezl Harrell, he's got a lot more touch, a lot more ability to score. He's had a couple seasons. You know, 16 and 18 points. Kenneth Faried never got close to that. Mm-hmm. So I think Trez is going to stick around longer than Kenneth Faried did. Kenneth Faried had a decent career, and maybe it's not over. He's only 31. We played 8 years in the league, went to China in 2019. But yeah, I get what he's saying. They're undersized. But I think maybe they found out here in LA that he's better utilized coming off the bench, and that happened a little bit earlier in his career than it did with Kenneth Faried. Kenneth Faried thought he was going to be a starter forever and didn't really see eye to eye with Denver for that reason. But Montrezl Harrell knows that he is a great bench player, and he'll probably thrive for a little bit longer because of it. But, you know, I think this comparison is better than the Trae Young, Kevin Love comparison. I got to say, this isn't too bad, but... Yeah, I guess Montrezl Harrell's stock has dropped since he was sixth man of the year last year, and now he's a bit of an afterthought in Los Angeles.
What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, and I kind of agree with this, and I kind of think it's more of a cautionary tale than anything. Like, Tess is saying, Kenneth Reed was a starter right away. He got a huge contract after he had a great performance in the World Championships, I think, right? The FIBA World Championships. He went out there and was just running wild, dunking everything. He looked like he was going to be a franchise centerpiece for the Nuggets. And that's when he started wanting to get a whole bunch of post touches. And it's like, Kenneth Reed, it's hard to stick to your role, is what I'm saying. And I think that's what we kind of saw with Montrezl Harrell with the Clippers a little bit last season, too, where he had had a successful season the year before. He was part of the culture that lured Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to LA. And then they came and they're the actual superstars. And now it's, hey, I have to just be a rim runner again? That's not quite fair. And I think the similar thing happened with Fareed wanting the post touches. It's hard to just be the guy that sets the screens and runs to the hoop and tries to dunk everything and tries to get every offensive rebound and then tries to dunk it again. You want to show off the moves. You want to show off that little jab step that Montrezl Harrell has from the wing because he's got it. He can shoot a corner three, but that's not necessarily what a team like the Lakers or the Clippers needs. They need you to play your role. It's hard to do, though. Maybe it's easier when you're actually playing for a championship.
Anything to add, Lili?
I thought Kenneth Reed didn't get as much out of his NBA career as I thought he should have. And I think Montrez has gotten more out of his than I thought he was going to get in his first couple of seasons here in Houston. I didn't think he was going to stick around. But last season, he was good. He earned that sixth man of the year. He has some defensive weaknesses, but he picked up a nice old contract to go and join the Lakers this season. His role will be different. But he's extended his career anyway. I think if I had to choose at the start of their careers, I would have said Fareed would have had a much longer and fruitier career than Montrez. Montrez, it feels like Kenneth Fareed. Like, you said he's only 31, Tass, is that right?
Yeah.
You said?
Yeah, that's wild.
Oh, my God, that is young, really, for a guy who hasn't been around forever, really. So I'm surprised he... Because even when he went to Houston and Brooklyn for his last couple of seasons, I thought he's still that energy guy. You know, I thought he'd still be a role for him in the NBA, but hasn't been able to, whereas Montrez has really squeezed everything out of his career so far to the point where he's, you know, like I say, a sixth man of the year, and the Lakers paid him the same contract Utah got. Oh, no, Utah got Derek Favors got, yeah, basically, which is like, wow, that's pretty good. Well done to Trez.
This is funny timing with this email, because just the other night I was watching, I guess it was the Wolves play, and I saw Naz Reid out there playing for them, and I was like, you know, because of the long locks, I was like, oh yeah, Kenneth Fareed, what's that guy up to? Similar names, I guess, there too. And he had just popped in my head. I was like, wow, that's a guy I hadn't thought about in a while, because we were super high, like you guys are all saying, on Kenneth Fareed, like early in his career. People were loving this guy. He had some great highlights for sure. I hear what you guys are saying on this. Montrezl Harrell, I think, is well on his way to having a much longer and obviously, what'd you say, fruitier career?
I meant to say fruitful, but I got fruitier. Kinda. They conned the fruitier in there. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Maybe the question was from the Gold Coast of Australia. Maybe they grow a lot of great fruit out there on the Gold Coast.
Oh, they've got a lot of beautiful tropical fruit up north there, Tassie. Yeah.
What are we talking?
What's your favorite of the Gold Coast fruit?
The pineapples are pretty well, got a pretty good reputation coming out of Queensland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're also known as the banana benders up in Queensland. They love the good bananas up there. They grow some good ones.
Oh, did you ever think about moving there?
Not really. There's a bit of a rivalry between Melburnians and Queenslanders.
Yeah, but you love bananas.
Yeah, I do. I love to holiday up there. Beautiful place to holiday.
I love my holiday fruit. All right, we got a couple more questions here.
Hey, guys. Sending love to everyone at the No Dunks crew. This is the first time I've ever tried writing to you guys, and I hope all of you are keeping well, especially mentally, with everything going on in the world. I only discovered the podcast on YouTube about 2 months ago, and I was shocked. I used to love watching the Starter Show on the NBA YouTube channel, and it was so nice seeing you guys once again, and I've loved listening to you guys every time the podcast comes out. Thank you. In fact, you guys really mean a lot to me. I've struggled with depression and suicidal ideation these last couple of months in the midst of the pandemic. And now, having the No Dunks podcast in my life, I have another thing which I can consistently look forward to and acts as a reminder that life will always be worth living. I'll often smile and laugh along with you guys, and it really helps me feel less alone and always helps to brighten my day. So thank you so much. Also, thank you to Lee for bringing up Cobra Kai. I'm a massive fan of the original 1984 Karate Kid. It's one of my favorite films, even though I'm only 20. And I binged all three seasons of the show in the first 4 days of the new year. It was definitely awesome seeing familiar faces, and I can't wait for the fourth season. I guess I didn't necessarily have a question for you guys, but just wanted to say thank you for being there for me. I used to watch back in Sri Lanka, and now I'm watching you guys here in Malaysia, where the show starts at 11 p.m., and I'm sending love to all of you from across the world. Best regards. That's from Arshad. Arshad, thank you so much for the email.
Absolutely. I like to know we're like late night TV in Malaysia. That's cool. But we wanted to include this because we get emails like this every once in a while from some of you out there, and we really do appreciate them, and we love you right back. And we're obviously ecstatic to know that this little weird show is maybe helping you through some tough times, especially right now in today's world. So that's why we wanted to include that, not just for Arshad, but for everyone else that has sent in, you know, similar emails over the last couple of years. You know, they touch our hearts, so we're happy to know it's helping you in some sort of way. And if it is, don't hesitate to let us know, because we do read these. So thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, two more questions. Hey, No Dunks, Po Dunks. The only time in my adult life I've spent more than $40 on clothing was recently on a sweet-ass No Dunks sweatshirt. My first trip to the grocery store, after receiving it, I admitted to my daughter that I was only wearing it to see if anyone would stop me and chat it up. A winter jacket would have been more appropriate, but he just went with the sweater. When was a time you connected with a stranger over a shared interest? Or alternatively, which subculture that you belong to would you most like to bond with a stranger over? Turn up. That's from Mr. Tomato. Trey, what do you got?
Oh, I love chatting with amateur mushroom enthusiasts. Love it. I couldn't believe it when we got a bag of beans filled with mushrooms as well. I name dropped some of the books I've been reading about mushrooms in a Four Sigmatic ad read earlier this week. Entangled Life by Merlin Sheldrake. It's everything you need to know about fungi, the history, how they interact with the modern world, potential future uses, etc., etc., etc. Also a great one, How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, which is more of the psychedelic applications of these mushrooms. But people who are interested in mushrooms, not just the psychedelic kind, mushrooms in general, really believe that mushrooms can change the world. Everybody who's interested in them has some weird extra tidbit you've never heard about. These things are ancient. They're going to survive forever, long after we are gone. They're super important to our environment, to the ecology of the globe. There are so many varieties. They look incredible. There are so many different looks. They look so delicate and fragile, but they're very sturdy. We know so much about plants and animals, and there's this huge thing called mycelium out there, and all of these mushrooms and the mycorrhizal network that we don't know a lot about, despite the fact that they have been there for eons and eons. So anytime I hear something about mushrooms, I'm always thrilled by it. Sometimes it's on my new favorite newsletter, Blackbird Spy Plane. Sometimes it's talking to my mother-in-law. Shout out to Jana and her Seek app, trying to capture every single kind of mushroom out there. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of varieties of mushrooms, all just out there. They're just out there. We could go find them if we wanted to.
I'm a little test. You caught Tess stretching there because you're so passionate about your mushrooms.
I love them.
Yeah.
No, awesome. I love them too, all of a sudden. I've never heard someone so passionate about mushrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in now, eh? Can you compost a mushroom? I'm sure you can, right?
When's a mushroom pod happening? Let's get a podcast on shrooms.
Wow.
Ooh, on shrooms? Do we do on shrooms?
Yeah, wow, that'd be pretty crazy. There's exciting work being done in those realms, but there's also exciting work being done in just the scientific realms with mushrooms. They're saying these could be used for plastic decomposition as a way to get rid of the giant landfills that we have that are taking over the Earth. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what they're going to be able to do? It's just amazing. You know, these are life forms that come from things that are dying. Pretty cool.
Yeah, if you were to have a mushroom podcast, what would you call it, Trey? Anything comes to mind?
I mean, I assume we would have to do it virtually like we're doing, so I'd probably call it Schumann and Zoomin. Yeah.
Good.
With John Schumann.
Well, actually, there's over a million varieties of mushrooms out there, and that's not even factoring in the lichens.
Yeah, the whole mushroom podcast with Schumann is Trey giving a mushroom fact, and then Schumann saying hashtag, well, actually, and correcting that fact. All right, well, Lee, have you ever bonded with a stranger over a shared interest? A
couple of times, and it's been about cricket. The great thing about cricket is it's an international game. And so during the 1999 Cricket World Cup, I bonded with the guy who ran a convenience store just over the road from where I live, this Pakistani guy named Haji. And me and him, the Cricket World Cup goes for far too long. It goes for like 6 weeks. Like, it's way too long. But me and Haji had a great old time, and we met in the final, Australia versus Pakistan. We had a bet. We have a £5 bet. And on the day of the final, Haji had his Pakistan shirt on. I had my Australia shirt on. We had a great old time, and Australia won. He was happy. He was a good loser, but it was just a lot of fun. And then in 2003, he went to Barbados for Australia versus the West Indies cricket. Now, sometimes when you go to sporting events around the world, they really separate the visitors from the home team because sometimes, you know, things can get a little bit tense. But in the cricket world, it's the opposite like that. You have way more fun when you bond with the locals. Mm. And so me and Trigger and Big Matt, we got our tickets and we sat.
Big Matt, that's a new one. We've never been introduced to Big Matt.
And we got our tickets and we sat in the stand there with all the local Bajans. And they were like giving us drinks and giving us food, and we were having great old time. Like, it was just so much fun. A really, really good time there. And you know, that's the thing about cricket. Like, it's a day. It's not like a 2-hour event where you come in and go home. You spend all day with these people. And I remember at one point we were drinking the Mount Gay rum and Coke, I think it was. And
were you on shrooms?
No, we should have been. Yeah, and it was a hot day, of course. It always is for cricket. And I finished my drink and I ran out of ice. And this lady is just like bumping her husband like this. Going, hey, give him some more ice. And the old man there, he's watching the game. It's kind of gross, but he just lifts up his cooler, grabs a chunk of ice with his hands and just throws it into my drink like that. But at that point, everyone was drunk and having a great time. So you overlook the fact that it's not the most hygienic thing of all time. And you're just like, yeah, this is great. This is what we wanted to do. So we had a great old time.
Visual.
Cricket brings people together. It's so much fun.
I just love that visual of you finishing your drink. You're out of ice. You didn't ask for ice from the woman, right?
No, but yeah.
She noticed that you're out of ice, so hits her husband, who's trying to watch a cricket game, and he's got to just scoop some ice for this random Aussie.
Yeah, just with his hands. It was kind of like, well, if you want it, you're getting it like this. And I was just like, yeah, I don't care. Who cares? Put it in there. As long as we get some more rum and Coke in there, it'd be great. It was such a great time out there because they've got the old, like, wooden seats.
Yeah.
So you've sort of got an allocation for your seat, but there's no usher who's like, hey, you're sitting in the wrong seat. You just sit wherever you want, really. Right. But that's the atmosphere. It's great. It's like you're sitting amongst friends.
Right, and you're there all day. Like,
you're there all day for 5 days in a row. I took two.
Basically, your family at that point. Like, hey, Dad, can I get some more eyes? No problem, son.
I took 2 weeks off work to go and watch 5 days of cricket.
Great line. Wow. A little worried about Big Matt on the wooden chair, though. I'll say that here in this story. I wouldn't want to
sit behind Big Matt, that's for sure.
Okay, just stall for a minute. I've got a great photo of Big Matt here. I'll get it up for you. I'll see if I can get it to JD.
Of course, you have a photo of Big Matt and the bleachers in Barbados. Of course you do. While he's looking for that, do you have an answer that can one up these guys? I mean, you're talking mushrooms and cricket here, man. This is their wheelhouse. You got something?
Yeah, no, I don't. Which subculture that you belong to would you most like to bond with a stranger over? Well, I'd also like to get something that has a lot of bacteria in it, like Lee getting some disgusting ice from a friend of his. I would like to have a draft beer that I haven't had in years. I mean, I want to bond with a stranger over, I'm not really a craft beer into the beer club, but I'd be willing to right now if it somehow got me a draft beer because I haven't had one in years. Like, right. I like different kinds of beer. I like my hippity hops. But I never really joined a beer club. Mm. Do those exist? I mean, I guess they do. People bond, have a beer. But anyways,
They're called bars.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, right. But I mean, like, hey, we're gonna go have our special beer today.
Yeah,
we all have to drink
the
same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm sure it happens. I mean, yes, I love me some breweries and that kind of stuff. But basically, I just want a beer. And I don't care about how dirty the line is and how, when they last cleaned it. I think Skeets answered the same thing 10 months ago in the pandemic, once upon a time, when things weren't open. I just want normalcy. That's all
I'm
saying.
Here we are, still things not open. Or at least...
Things are open
where we are, but nobody's going out. Just at least it sounds like from the five of us. Yeah, that'd be nice. One day we'll be able to go and have a beer in a bar.
Down at the beer club.
Man, we'll bond. I guess my quick answer to this is just... anytime when we used to go to parties and meet new people. Remember that? That was wild. Anytime you found out someone was a Survivor fan, well, then it was, now we're best friends. Let's talk about Survivor for the next half hour. And everybody else gets upset. Like, you just go over to the corner of the room. Oh, who's your favorite players? Oh, what's your favorite season? Oh, could you believe that move? So that's my subculture that I'm really invested in. JD, I don't know if you're I think you're a fan of Rob Sesternino. I know the RHAP community. They're firing up their... There's 40 seasons of Survivor. So they're doing now, working backwards from 40 to 1... doing like a 2 to 3 hour podcast on ranking the seasons.
Oh, wow.
Sort of like a rewatch, but addressing them. So season, the 40th ranked season has come out on RHAP. It's the one with the guy, Dan or whatever, that got removed from the game. So that one ranks.
That was a bad one.
That's a bad one.
That was
that's
recent. That was like two seasons ago.
39.
Right?
I think it's season 39. Yeah, yeah. I think it's Rob and Sandra... Island of the Islands.
Oh, that's
I
right.
I think it's that one.
Those ridiculous huge statues of...
Anyway, so at least that's a... that's coming out every couple of days now. Man. This next 40 weeks... Or maybe actually every week they're dropping one. So the next 40 weeks I'm set because you got a new RHAP podcast.
Yeah, those guys are kind of screwed right now because there's no Survivor and I don't think Big Brother's going either, so...
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm actually not sure. I didn't watch Big Brother this last... last iteration. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. You gotta get creative with your content. So they're doing that. Did you find your photo there, Lily? Do we have it here.
This is so that's Big Matt on the roller, right? This is actually the day before the test match started. We went down to the ground and we just walked out onto the ground. Like in Australia, you would never be allowed to do that. We walked out there. And the guys just let us look at the pitch. I mean, like, it's incredible. And then Matt just jumped on the roller there. So that was incredible.
Why does it seem like you're behind glass here? Like, what are you behind?
No. That's a photo.
Oh, you're it's a frame. It's a, this is a... Or a photo album.
Yeah, it's in an album. Yeah, it's in an album. Mm. So, that one's there. So, me, Big Matt, and Big Trig went out there, had a great old time.
Wait, Trig's big too? Is it Big Matt and Big Trig, or is it just Big Matt and Trigger?
Well, it's probably just Big Matt and Trigger. Yeah, but that was a great trip, great time we had out there.
Did you just text Big Matt right during the show and say, "Hey, can you open up your photo album and take a pic and send it to me?" Is that what happened right now?
No. I've got this one saved. I think I must have been sharing it with Trig when I was back in Australia. I went through the old photo album and I said something like, "Hey, remember this?" Something like that. Yeah.
So are those guys, they live in Australia?
No, they live in Manchester, actually, up in Northern England. Yeah.
Okay. So they're not Australian, those guys.
Yeah, they're Australian. They're both Australian. Matt's from Queensland, actually.
He knows about all the good fruit. Big Matt taking down big pineapples, eh? Okay, it all makes sense.
That's awesome. That was a nice Zamboni. The Australian Zamboni there. That was cool to see that.
Yeah, what is that thing that he's on?
So on the pitch, right? I said it was the roll. It actually looked like a watering thing. Yes. Yeah. Because see closer. Now, if you look just to the top left-hand side there, you'll see something near the pitch. That's the roller,
Roller, yes. I can see. Actually, in this picture, small Trigger is on the roller.
Yeah.
Because he's in the distance. And that's Lee walking there in the distance. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's on the waterer there for some reason. But, yeah. That's great. Go to Barbados, watch a cricket match. You'll have a great time. Some friends. Drink some Mount Gay rum. You'll have a ball.
Yeah. Get some hand ice. Call it a day. Okay.
I got no problem with hand ice. There's nothing wrong.
Late in the day. It's like,
whatever.
Well, I'm just saying, if you were to turn up in your first drink of the day, someone was to just like dip their hand in, you'd probably be a little bit put off by it. But late in the day when you're drunk anyway, you're just like, who cares? Throw anything in there. I'm drinking it.
You would never have morning hand ice. Is that what you're saying? All right. Do we have one more? Yeah, we do.
Yeah, and if you haven't had enough Australianisms, well, that's too bad. We got some more here. Hey, guys, please do yourselves a favor and ask Lee to sing a version of Slim Dusty's Pub with No Beer, but call it A Rim with No Net. Let me repeat that. Please get Lee to sing a version of Slim Dusty's Pub with No Beer, but call it A Rim with No Net. All right. Please just trust me on this. That's from a fellow Aussie in Western Australia by the name of Samantha. So Samantha's got some very clear instructions for you, Lee. What do you got?
Yeah, well, Slim Dusty is he's no longer with us, Slim, but he was a country singer from Australia. Not too many of those. So if you're good at it, you become pretty famous. Mm. And Slim was. So anyway, here is the song that she's talking about. JD's got the clip there.
Okay.
Hey, it's a lonesome away from your kindred and all. By the campfire at night, and the wild dingoes call. But there's a nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer.
So when
I got this question yesterday, I thought I could just explain the question and give the answer to the guys there. But then I thought, well, there's nothing what fans want more than me to sort of try to sing something. So I reworked Slim Dusty's Pub with No Beer, as Sam asked, to make it A Rim with No Net.
Right.
So here goes. There's no music. I'm just going to go a cappella on this one.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Oh, you pack up your gym bag, short shoes and all, and head to the court where you're about to play ball. But there's nothing so maddening or that will make you fret than to stand on a court of a rim with no net.
Hey!
Now the players are anxious for the game to start, but there's a look of concern on the face of the guard. 'Cause how will he know if his jumper is wet? Oh, what a terrible court is a rim with no net. Hey, more players turn up, ready to have fun. They lace up their sneakers and head out to run. But today's a day on the court they'll quickly forget, as they all realize the rim has no net.
No net. Then the big guy arrives. He brings his own ball.
Big trigger.
He gets close to the court when he hears the call. The other guys know that he'll be upset when he learns that the rim has no net.
Wow, you missed your calling, man. You could have been Australia's second biggest country singer, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Slim Dusty and me. We could have been special, but missed it by a few years.
That was well done. Good lyrics. That was following along.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was fun. It was fun to put it together. But I was thinking, how am I going to sing this? And I thought, don't try to sing it. Just try to, like, you know, say it like it's a poem almost.
It worked.
Yeah. Yeah, oh,
man. You were singing. That's
you must. Singing. That was singing. Yeah, you must know Slim Dusty. Slim Dusty must be on your pod, on your Apple.
In my Spotify.
Yeah. Were you a fan growing up?
Well, sort of. I mean, you know, country music in Australia is not huge, so everyone knows who Slim Dusty is, but you know, never saw him live, unfortunately.
I mean, by the name of the song, like, is it a jokey sort of song?
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know, Australians are known for, like, you know, just get to the pub and have a beer. And imagine you went to a pub, you've been out working all day, putting in the hard yakka, and there's no beer.
And they're
in the
like,
pub.
Sorry, we only have kombucha.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, nightmare. Yeah.
Good comment from JG on the stream team. Sleem. Dusty. It's supposed to be a Lee, S-L-E-I. Mm. Sleem Dusty. Yeah.
What? That's Lee. His name?
No, it's Lee. Oh, Lee inserted to Slim.
Okay, now that I see
Are you disrespecting the legend of Slim Dusty right now?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, Mr. man.
P. Slim. Oh, my goodness. What a weird, weird podcast this was. Has James Harden been?
Whoa, oh, yes, no. Yes, yes, he has.
Brooklyn.
Going to Brooklyn.
Whoa. Wow, let's hear it. What do you got?
Well,
you got details?
Well, Woj is just saying Brooklyn is acquiring James Harden. That's all they've got so far.
We got time. Let's just sit here for
No, let's wrap this up. By the time we get this bad boy up, then we're ready to do our emergency pod.
Wow, 1 minute ago, that was Woj with Roma Shelburne saying that Brooklyn is acquiring him. So, yeah,
Who's
going to get the next details? Steiny, Shams, or will Woj follow it up?
You thought it was a joke that we were going to stretch for so long the trade happened, but after we talked about a beer club and mushrooms and came up with a new country song, it finally happened.
It's incredible.
It's a classic.
Wow. It's incredible. All right. Breaking news here.
So who would be going back? Let's have a guess who would be going back. Oh, here we go.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking the Nets. If the Sixers deal was to be believed, then the Nets obviously, I think, had to sweeten it if they really wanted. Harden is my guess. So it's got to be Caris LeVert. I'm thinking Dinwiddie's even there. I'm just fascinated if Jared Allen is in the mix. That's the real question
for
me.
Yeah, we haven't got the details yet.
They said they were going to give him. Wasn't it Shams reporting that they were, like, willing to give up, like, all of their picks, basically? The Nets were, like, 4 first-round picks and then 3 swaps? That's what he was reporting this morning, or the afternoon. Oh, man. Okay.
I mean, is there any chance Kyrie goes to the Rockets?
Wow.
I mean, salary-wise, that's easy. But
Yeah, it is. Well, why don't we just wrap this up, get our details, and maybe talk about it a little bit later?
Back to the factory!
Yeah, I think so. I think that makes the most sense. So let's thank everybody for joining us for this Beach Step In. You know, rest in peace to Slim Dusty. Shout out to Big Matt. Shout out to Medium Sized Trigger. Keep handing out that hand ice. Keep those questions coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. You got a good mushroom recipe, let us know. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you watch and listen to the show. Grab your No Dunks merch at NoDunks.com. We might be back in mere hours. Who knows? Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, rest in peace to the legend that was Slim Dusty.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay. Ooh.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.